Savior, what joys express. His eyes are mercy. Is your past a memory that binds you? Is there some pain that you've carried for too long? Then strengthen your heart with His good news. There is a Savior, and He's forgiven you. There is a Savior. What joys express.
Thank you, Mrs. Gonzalez. We'll give her a few minutes to make it down. I appreciate her coming up from our Spanish ministry. For those of you who are new to our church, Mrs. Gonzalez is married to our Spanish pastor, and she'll be heading, I guess, down that direction, unless she's about heard enough of him. I think she's going to be heading back down there, so I appreciate her coming up tonight. Romans chapter 4, if you would please. Romans chapter number 4. Read a portion of Scripture, if I could, to you, beginning in verse number 17. We'll read down through verse number 21 about probably one of the greatest individuals mentioned in all the Bible, and that's Abraham. Abraham was such an incredible man. God called him the friend of God. That's not what I'm going to preach on tonight, but I want to take a look at one particular verse and something that was said about Abraham that I wonder if could be said about us today. Romans 4, verse 17, would you stand, please? We're going to pick up right in the middle of the chapter, basically. And again, the context here is speaking about Father Abraham, the father of all nations. Paul writing here says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Speaking of Abraham. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now I want you to notice verse 20 and verse 21. The scripture described Abraham and said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And then verse 21 is our text verse, and basically two words for the title of the message. It says, and being, and here are the two words, fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he was able also to perform. Now I want you to notice in verse number 20, the scripture says, he staggered not at the promise of God. Now many of you have watched a boxing match before and seen somebody get their jaw jacked. And you know what they do? They stagger. You know what God hit Abraham with? You're going to have a child at 100 years old. That's about like getting smacked in the jaw, isn't it? How'd you like that, Brother Carlos? Hey, you'd stagger, wouldn't you? But you know what? The information, and God gave him that promise. The Bible said Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. He said, "How? Why couldn't he? What was it about him?" The scripture says, because he was fully persuaded. He was fully persuaded. And I want to take those two words as the title of our message tonight and preach to you a little bit about those two words, being fully persuaded. Now, Father, we ask that you'd meet with us tonight. And again, we're grateful to be alive and in church. We pray, Lord, that you'd stir our hearts concerning what you would have for us tonight, and we'll give you all the glory and praise for what should be accomplished in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. You know, most of us live a very guarded and skeptical life to some degree. You know, we tend toward kind of being the half-empty type people rather than the half-full mindset. You see, we tend to jump to conclusions without all the facts sometimes and develop opinions and positions on things without really doing a whole lot of research. Really a lot without checking many things out. And what we do, we position ourselves without a whole lot of foundation why we hold a certain position. Now, I realize that we're humans. And I realize that we have a lot of faults and weaknesses, and we get sometimes entangled in this old flesh. Now, if you're new to Christianity, let me say something to you about the old flesh. You're stuck with it. When you got saved, the only thing that got born again was your soul. Your spirit got revived. Your flesh stayed the same. Now, one of these days, your flesh will have a transformation. That mortal, the Bible says, will put on immortality. And that corruptible shall put on incorruption. But that will not happen until you see the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that day, when you see him, you shall be like him, for you shall see him as he is. But until that day, our sinful, depraved flesh is our major obstacle to complete faith and joy in our Christian walk. Now, if we continue, church, as an individual to live in the flesh, that's carnal, worldly, and have that type of mindset, listen very carefully, you will always struggle with spiritual things and will never, listen to me, never be fully persuaded about anything or any practice related to God or His will or His Word when you take on a carnal mindset. Let me say something to you real quick before I move on. Remember your conversion. Now, your conversion, if your conversion was like mine, I had to be fully persuaded. I had to be brought to the place to where I had to be convinced that this was the truth. And by the way, for most of us, guess what? You had to be persuaded as well. Most of us were probably half empty people. We weren't half full. Most of us probably looked at things very skeptical. You see, this is exactly what Paul attempted to do with King Agrippa. If you'll remember in Acts 26, he gave him the gospel. I told him the truth. And I like it because as he was preaching to Agrippa, he says, you know this. He said, you know what I'm telling you is the truth. Well, after it was all said and done, remember what Agrippa said? He said, almost thou persuadest me. He said, you almost convinced me through reason, through facts, through evidence that you've presented. That's what the word persuade means. He said, you almost convinced me of the truth. But did you notice in Romans chapter 4 and verse number 21 that the Holy Ghost of God didn't say that Paul, that Abraham was persuaded. It said he was fully persuaded. It said that he was completely persuaded and convinced. He was entirely persuaded and convinced. He was in like manner. He was satisfied based on the facts that it was true. Now, with that said, let me say something to you about Abraham. Abraham did not experience a temporary or a situational type of persuasion. But listen to me, church. But rather a complete and entire persuasion. Something had to happen. Well, let me back up and say this. Several somethings happened in Abraham's life that brought him to the place where he was fully persuaded. So when God brought him a truth that you're going to have a child at 100 years old and your wife who was barren is going to give birth to a child in her old age, the scripture said he staggered not. He staggered not at the promise of God. Why? Because, you know what? This wasn't the first time he had seen something like this. This wasn't the first time that he had experienced something like this from God. And so, may I say, before God ever came to him with that promise and with that announcement, he was already fully persuaded. That's the reason he staggered not at the promise of God. You see, a persuasion in such a manner that it gave him satisfaction. Why? Because God was now coming through with what he had already promised to Abraham. You see, Abraham's promise was not one event or happen chance, but rather, listen to me, a transformation of his mind. He was transformed. His thought process was changed. And it was all based on what God had done in him and through him, what he had experienced, what he had seen, what he had heard in his life, brought him to that place fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Now, think about this just for a moment. Many of you have either seen a court of law or been in a court of law. May I say to you that in a court of law, a lot of persuasion going on. A lot of persuasion. And the reason they're in the mode of persuading is because they want a positive verdict for their side. And many times, each side takes a position, right? And what they do is they take a position, then they present the evidence to support their position. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to persuade either a 6 or 12 man jury. Persuade them to come to their side and vote for them and come to their side and agree with their position. Now, I'm saying all this tonight, church, to simply say, are you fully persuaded? Now, I'm going to give you a couple of things, then we're going to go to the book of Genesis just a moment, and I'm going to give you and show you why I believe without question what brought Abraham to that position. Now, folks, listen to me. I'm not being unkind. I'm just saying that there's way too much in Christian going on of people floating from this church to that church to this church to that church, and sometimes even changing denominations. Why? They're not fully persuaded. They have not reached a place in their life to where they have become persuaded about what they believe. Friday in our college chapel, I preached somewhat along this line, and I just preached to the college students and those that were visiting there about the depth of doctrine, knowing what you believe. Now, I want to talk to you just for a second, just throw some things out there, and then we're going to go to the book of Genesis. I want to ask you, are you fully persuaded, church, that you have the Word of God in your hand tonight? I didn't say you. I said, are you fully persuaded that you have the Word of God in your hand? Do you believe that King James Bible that you have in your hand is God's Word, inerrant, inspired, preserved, settled in heaven forever, that you have in your hand in the English language for us today? If I didn't, I wouldn't even be here. You see, I'm fully persuaded that what I have in my hand is the very words of God for us. Listen, I don't believe it contains the Word of God. I believe it is the words of God for us today in the English language, in the King James Bible. You see, my dear friend, if I thought that all I had in my hand was a book that contained the Word of God, I wouldn't even be here. And matter of fact, why should you even be here? If I can't figure it out, if I don't have something that is the final authority in my life of all spiritual practice, then what are we doing? Do you know that most of the world today is not fully persuaded that they have the Word of God in their hand? So guess what we get? We get a melting pot of religion because nobody is fully persuaded. And if you, listen, how can you be fully persuaded on doctrine if you're not even fully persuaded you have the Word of God? How can you be settled on doctrine if you don't even know you have the truth? I'm just asking you, tonight, Trinity Baptist Church member, do you believe, fully persuaded, are you fully persuaded you have the Word of God? Because if you do, we're on the right track here. You see, there's some things that Abraham was fully persuaded. That's the reason, listen to me, if you believe you have the Word of God in your hand, that's when God brings something in your life like He brought to Abraham, said you're going to have a child at 100 years old, you'll stagger not at the promise of God because you know the Word of God is true. Hey, let God be true and every man a liar. You see, do you believe you have a Bible that's relevant to all ages and all people? In all times. Folks, can I say something to you? The Word of God transcends all times, all generations. Listen, we don't need a corrected Bible. We don't need someone to say, well, this old Bible right here just don't work in this 21st century. But they're saying it all the time. Do you believe that book you have in your hand is reliable? I said, are you fully persuaded that you believe this book is reliable? All right, then if we're fully persuaded that we have the Word of God, well, we're on the right track. May I say to you that the reason Abraham became the friend of God, the reason Abraham became the person he was, is because there were some things he was fully persuaded on. And there was a reason he was able to arrive at that position. May I say to you, number two, quickly. Not only are you fully persuaded tonight, church, that you have the Word of God in your hand, but may I say to you, number two, are you fully persuaded that prayer is the medium of communication between God and man? Now, you wouldn't think so by a lot of people. You wouldn't think that people are fully persuaded that that's how we communicate before God. Now, folks, listen to me. I communicate with the Lord through prayer. He communicates with me through prayer and His Word. So see, I get a double barrel coming back at me. I communicate on my knees before God. He speaks to me through prayer, but He also speaks to me through His Word. That's the reason. You know what? One of the things I've been practicing for a long time now is when I get on my knees and pray, I open my Bible. And I pray with my Bible open. Because many times when I'm praying, the Holy Ghost will say, time out, time out, time out, time out. I need you to look at something right quick. And I'll go while I'm praying. And he'll say, I just wanted you to see that. Man, that's good. Now, back to where we were. I pray with my Bible open. Why? I'm convinced. I'm fully persuaded that's the Word of God. I'm fully persuaded that prayer is the medium of communication between God and man. Hey, listen. I believe that God hears prayer. I believe prayer makes a difference. I believe God answers prayer. Hey, I believe God wants me to participate in it daily. Now, folks, listen, this isn't a game with me. I'm fully persuaded that this is the Word of God and that prayer is that medium of communication between us and God. Now, we've got to be fully persuaded of that. May I say to you, number three, are you fully persuaded that the local church is the pillar and ground of the truth? Now, folks, I'm asking you, I didn't say you're persuaded. I said, are you fully persuaded? I said, are you entirely convinced that the local church is where the blessings of Jesus Christ are? That the local church is for whom He died? Are we persuaded, fully persuaded, that the local church is the pillar and ground of the truth? Hey, do we believe in it enough to be faithful to it in every area? In attendance, in service, in giving? Do you know the Scripture says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is? Why? Because we need one another. We need to pray for one another. We need the preaching. We need the teaching of the Word of God. We need to be faithful to it in every area. Are you convinced that the church, its responsibility is to reach people with the gospel? Are you fully persuaded that we're supposed to be out soul winning? I said, are you fully persuaded? Listen, the thing about it is, you know what? We can say, you know what? Bless God, I know that's what we're supposed to be doing. Well, where are we on Thursday and Saturday then? You say, well, preacher, I can't make it on Thursday and Saturday. All right, where are you anytime? Are you talking to people about Jesus Christ? Are you passing tracts out? Are you doing something to get the gospel to somebody? I said, are you fully persuaded that that's what we're supposed to be practicing? That we're supposed to be personal soul winning, world evangelism, sending, listen, and going. Sending folks out of our church, and then some of us need to go ourselves. I said, are you fully persuaded that the local church is the pillar and ground of the truth? Let me throw one more out there and we'll go to Genesis right quick. Are you fully persuaded that Baptist doctrine is Bible doctrine? I said, are you fully persuaded that Baptist doctrine is Bible doctrine? And folks, listen, this don't go real well, particularly for anybody. Hey, here I am right here, in case you're watching online. I said Baptist doctrine is Bible doctrine. Now, whoever watches this, they ain't going to like that, but that's all right. Hey, our email address is on there. You'll find it. Hey, can I say something to you? If I didn't believe that, and I wasn't fully persuaded of that, I wouldn't even be here. I'm fully persuaded. You say, preacher, how did you come to that conclusion? I read the Bible. I read the Bible. And you know what? That's the reason I came out of the denomination that I was in. Because I read the Bible. And I found out that Baptist doctrine was Bible doctrine. You see, do you believe, church? Are you fully persuaded that what's being preached and taught from this local church is biblical? Is Baptist doctrine? Is Bible doctrine? Do you believe that the ministries of this church are faith-based oriented and soul-winning focused? Are you fully persuaded? Are you fully persuaded that the main desire of this church is to magnify Jesus Christ? Hey, Abraham was fully persuaded. He was entirely convinced that when God said, here's the promise, he didn't even say, well, have you checked my age out lately? Because the age had nothing to do with it. It was the promise of God. He was fully persuaded. All right, let's go now real quick and let's find out how was this man, how did he arrive at being fully persuaded so when something of this magnitude came in his life, he staggered not at the promise of God. Go, if you would, to Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to give them to you. You can jot them down. You can study them in your spare time, all right? Go to Genesis chapter 12. And look, if you would, in Genesis 12 and verse 1. Now, let me say this before I start reading here. I want to say that to you quickly, Abraham wasn't born fully persuaded. And some of you are looking at me like I'm telling a lie. Now, listen, I said Abraham was not born this way. He had to be convinced of it. He had to be, hey, you know what Abraham was? He's the same thing that you and I were before we got saved, a heathen. He's lost just like you and I were. So you know what? He had to be convinced. He had to be entirely convinced of the truths of the Word of God. But Abraham wasn't born fully persuaded, but he grew to that place in his life. Hey, it didn't come naturally and through some earthly means. It came through divine evidence that we're about to look at. Now, here's the first thing we'll find in verse number 1, Genesis 12. The Scripture says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee." Well, you know what? You can go over, we don't have time, but you can go to Hebrews chapter 11, and it talks about that Abraham followed God by faith and followed him to a land which he knew not. Now, I wonder how many of us, if somebody said, "Listen, I want you to go over yonder," and you said, "Well, where's that?" "It's over yonder." "Just get on 35 and keep driving. I'll tell you when to stop." I wonder how many of us would do that. Can I say to you, that's what Abraham did? A God whom he knew very little about told him, "Listen, I need you to get your family and get to a place and a land that I'll show you." He said, "But you know not." You say, what does this verse, preacher, have to do in significance to our subject tonight? Well, I believe this is one of the things that brought Abraham to being fully persuaded in everything God instructed him. I think the first thing is this, write this down. He realized God had a purpose for his life. He realized God had a purpose for his life. He accepted the fact that God knew best. Hey, I said he accepted the fact that God knew best. He accepted himself as God made him. Now, what I'm trying to say to you tonight is one of the things that led Abraham to that place of being entirely convinced that the, when the word came, he staggered not, is he realized God had a purpose for his life. Now, let's bring this into our auditorium tonight. Can I say to you, as your pastor, God has a purpose for your life. It's one of the steps to being fully persuaded that there's a God in heaven that not only loves you, but has a will, a perfect will for your life. A place for your life in the overall scheme and overall plan of God. You think, preacher, little old me? Yeah, little old you. Little old you. God has a purpose for your life. Abraham realized that. And so when the Lord said to go from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and he said, "I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." You know what he's telling him? "I got a purpose for you, man. I got a purpose for your life." And you know what Abraham did? Glory to God. "Show me where it is." He says, "It's over yonder." And he led him to a land that he knew not. And you know how he followed? He followed by faith. He just followed. God said he just went. That leads me to the second thing. Look, if you would, in verse number 4. Not only did I say he realized God had a purpose for his life, number 4. After God finished giving him instructions, verse 4 says, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 70 and 5 years old when he departed out of Haran." He wasn't no spring chicken. 75 years old. Now you say, what is this? What is the second? What brought him to being fully persuaded? What's the second thing? Well, the first thing was he realized God had a purpose for his life. Number 2, listen now, he listened when God spoke to him. Now, folks, listen, you're not going to convince me. God is speaking. And I mean God is speaking to everyone, lost and saved. So what is he speaking to the lost? He said, "Won't you be saved? Won't you be saved?" He'll send people to their door. And you know what he's doing? Speaking to them. God's speaking. The problem is not many people listening. But may I say to you, here's a man that knew very little about this, about his God, knew very little about the guidance and what God was up to, and yet the scripture says he listened to him, because when God said, go there, guess what he did? He departed. He listened to what God was saying. Hey, he listened, then obeyed, because he understood, you know what, this is going to be for my good. And folks, you don't have to be able to figure God out. Stop trying to figure him out. All you do is wasting brain power. You could use that on something else. All you're going to do is kill a bunch of brain cells and lose your mind trying to figure God out. Hey, he listened when God spoke. Hey, God wants nothing but the best for you and me. And he knew. Oh, by the way, the thing about it is, I'm sure somewhere along the line, he had some probably family influence, but not a whole lot. And yet when God spoke, he understood that God had a purpose for his life, and he listened when God spoke to him. You know what most of our problem is? We don't listen. You say, God ain't speaking to me. Oh, please don't tell me that, because you're telling me you're not reading your Bible. Oh, boy. That was a dagger, wasn't it? Please don't tell me. You say, I ain't heard from God in weeks. Oh, no. We're in trouble. Now, listen, folks, what I'm saying to you is, when you say that, you're telling me that you're staggering. What you're saying is, you know what, preacher? I'm not in the Word of God. I'm not hearing anything from God. What you're saying is, you're not doing the things. You're not in the Word of God like you need to be. You're not listening, because God is speaking. A lot of times, what we do is, boy, I hate to say this because I'm guilty of it, we become selective hearers. We only hear what we want to hear. And if things aren't favorable to us, then we just kind of block those things out. But God is speaking. Abraham listened when God spoke. That was why he became fully persuaded. Why? He was listening. He was a good listener. Number three. Turn, if you would, to chapter 12, verse 14. I said, first of all, he realized God had a promise, a purpose for his life. Number two, he listened when God spoke to him. And may I say, number three, he experienced the grace of God. Have you ever experienced the grace of God? Now, I did when I got saved. I experienced a huge portion of the grace of God. But you know, I've had an opportunity to experience the grace of God in my life since I've been saved. Now, I want you to look at something real quick. Remember this incident right here? And it came to pass, when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the women that she was, beheld the woman that she was very fair, speaking of Sarah. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house, and he entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen, and he had asses, men servants, maid servants, and she asses and camels, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? If you'll remember, look in verse 19, why saidest thou she's my sister? You see, he had told her, oh boy, Sarah, if you tell him that I'm your husband, he'll kill me and take me and take you for wife. And Pharaoh said, so I might have taken her to my wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. Stop just a moment. You know what Abraham just experienced? The grace of God. You know what Pharaoh could have done? Come here, you. I'm going to put you in a place you'll never see daylight again. I'm going to put you in a place, you understand, you could have gotten me killed. I'm going to strip you of everything you have. I'm going to make you sorry for what you almost did to me. Now, you know what Pharaoh did? Take your wife and get out of here. Go, go, go. You know what he just experienced? Grace. He experienced the grace of God. See, Pharaoh could have defiled Sarah. Pharaoh could have had him imprisoned or killed. Hey, Pharaoh could have taken everything that he had, but he didn't. Why? The grace of God. And don't you think for one second that when Abraham walked out of there, he thought, God's good. You ever been in that kind of situation where you thought, okay, this is it. I'm seeing Jesus. You ever been in one of those situations before? That's where Pharaoh was. I mean, that's where Abraham was. Because, brother, he was at the mercy of the king now. And God, in his divine will, reached down and told Pharaoh, just send him off. And he sent him away. You know what he experienced? The grace of God. He walked away thinking, oh, God's good. Wait a minute. It wasn't the first time he'd experienced the goodness of God. But here he experienced the grace of God. May I say also to you, we don't have time to go there, but you can go to Genesis chapter 14 and Genesis chapter 15. And may I say to you, number four, that Abraham witnessed the power of God. He witnessed the power of God. Now listen, this is not a name that you'd probably name your children, but he faced a king by the name of Chedorlaomer. That's one of those things you want to go... And you know what? Abraham probably shouldn't have won this, but you know what? He just went out there and stomped that king in the ground. You know what he saw? He witnessed power of God. Victory in battle, he witnessed. You see, God revealed his will for Israel unto him. And remember in Genesis chapter 15, remember he made an altar? Remember he slew an ox and placed it on an altar, and the fire of God came upon that altar, and remember, he told Abraham, he said that now my people are going to go into bondage and they'll serve these kings for 400 years. You see, he gave Abraham a vision of Israel's future. But you know what he witnessed and brought him to that full persuasion? He witnessed the power of God. See, maybe some of the problems that most of us have today that we're not fully persuaded about what we're doing here is because we ain't seen the power of God. We haven't experienced the power of God in our life. All right, number five, quickly. Quickly, go to Genesis 17. Go to Genesis 17. I'm just going to hit this one in passing. Number five is this. What brought Abraham to be fully persuaded? Number five, he allowed God to change his life. Look, just a quick verse here. Chapter 17, verse 5. God said, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. You see, Abraham just figured, boy, I've experienced the grace of God. I know God's got a purpose because he led me in a land. I fought him, led me in a land I didn't even know anything about. He said he spoke to me all the time. I just listened and I just figured, you know what? He hadn't let me down any time before, so I'm just going to follow and obey what he tells me to do. So that brought him here now, after experiencing the grace of God, witnessing the power of God, he just allowed God to change his life. And God said, you'll no longer be called Abram, you'll be now Abraham. He said, because I've made you a father of many nations. You see, the more we resist, dear folks, the less persuaded we become. Don't resist God. Let him transform your life. Remember, if you're persuaded that he has a purpose for your life, then let him bring about in your life to fulfill that purpose. You say, but I don't understand. Well, join the rest of us. Most of us don't understand how God operates. Why? Because his ways aren't your ways. And his thoughts are not your thoughts. Why? Because his thoughts and his ways are high above our thoughts and our ways. You see, God's going to bring about his will if we'll just let him change our life. Number six, go to Genesis 18, quickly. We're almost done here. Genesis 18, look in verse 23. Remember the visitors that visited Abraham? You know where they were headed to? Sodom. You know what they were going to do? Destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, here's number six. Not only did Abraham witness the power of God and the grace of God, but he also saw the mercy of God. I want you to notice this, Genesis 18, verse 23. And Abraham drew near and said, Will that also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Will that also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, and be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Now, for sake of time, here's the way it went. Abraham went back and said, Lord, please don't get angry at me. Would you spare it for 40? He said, I'll do it. He said, no, Lord, please, I hope you don't think I'm a little bit, but would you spare it for 30? He went back again and said, would you spare it for 20? And every time Abraham came back, God said, I'll do it. And he got God all the way down from 50 to 10 and stopped. Now, let me say this. May I say to you that Abraham probably thought the same thing that we did? Surely, there's 10. I didn't have much confidence in 50, but bless God, I believe there's 10 there. But you know what Abraham experienced? He experienced the mercy of God, that God was willing to spare a city full of sodomites. He was willing to spare a city that was full of perverts. He was willing to spare a city that was full of all kinds of immorality stacked on top of each other. He was willing to spare that city for 10 righteous. You know what Abraham witnessed? Boy, the mercy of God. And folks, you know what? I think we're heading in the right direction. I think we've done figured out here a little bit why he was fully persuaded. Why he was entirely convinced. Because he saw a merciful God that was willing to spare a wicked city for just 10 saved people. And we know later, there wasn't 10. Remember, there's only 4 that escaped, and one of them got caught before they ever got to the mountains. And the Bible says, remember Lot's wife? You see, he saw the mercy of God. Let me give you one more, and that's this. We know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19, and let me just say this, that Abraham embraced the promise of God. Now listen to me, folks. God said, I'll spare it for 10. But there wasn't 10 there. So you know what God did? Destroyed it. And Abraham saw God destroy it. You know what God did? Kept his promise. Would he have spared it for 10? Absolutely. But there wasn't 10 there. And because there wasn't 10 there, guess what God did? He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Exactly. And you know what Abraham did? Embrace that promise. That, you know what? God is no respecter of persons, and he didn't do it just for me. He didn't say, boy, you know what? I really love Abraham. We did find 4 there. Okay, guys, we're going to call this off. No. He said, I'll spare it for 10. There wasn't 10. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham embraced the promise of God. He accepted the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And listen to me, church. He believed that God would give him an heir. You see, it wasn't the heir of his servant. God had promised him a son. Do you understand now that when God came to Abraham and he said, the news came, it's time. It's time for the seed to arrive at 100 years old. And when the word came, because he had already experienced the mercy of God, the grace of God, he had allowed God to transform. He listened when God spoke. He understood that God had a purpose for his life. You see, he was already fully persuaded before the word ever came. So when the word came, the scripture said, staggered not at the promise of God. Now, you know how we can be fully persuaded? Just follow these. Look, folks, it's not rocket science. Basically, it boils down to Abraham just decided, you know what? I'm just going to obey God whether I understand it or not. I'm just going to obey. And you know what? When you obey God, he begins to open doors and show himself mighty in your life. You know what that builds in you? That builds that fully persuaded spirit. And when something comes in your life that is of a great magnitude, You know what you can do? Because you're already fully persuaded that you have the Word, that God is true, that when something giant comes in your life, you'll stagger not, because you're fully persuaded that you serve the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say, preacher, tonight I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm saved. I've been born again in the family of God. Slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I'm saved and know it. No question about it. All right? God bless you. You can put your hand.